Hey folks, I'm Alan Watt and we're cutting through this matrix. It's very important we cut through now because we're going into it big time. And I have a feeling that once into it, most people will be just like the characters in the Matrix movie. They'll think that's real life. They won't know the difference. The transition won't be that gradual enough, but they'll actually go into it. And they're aiming at the young, as I say, always at the young. And in many of the writings put out by Aldous Huxley and others, they talked about creating a world. This wasn't Huxley's idea. He just worked for this establishment that planned this future. But he said that most people are unhappy, therefore we'll make them happy. We'll give them a type of big brother type society where everything's taken care of for them, and we'll use drugs and so on and various scientific methods to control the people and keep them happy, keep them ordered, because the greatest thing they fear at the bottom happens to be independent thinkers. They're not worried about weaponry because they have such high-tech weaponry at the top and chemical weaponry and various types of weaponry. They don't worry about weapons at the bottom. Everything you have is obsolete. So, but they really care about thoughts that can spread like wildfire. That's important. So they want to extinguish those with that fire inside them and bring everybody into a matrix-type society with the use of drugs and psychological techniques and advanced sciences. And here is where the games are going, the games. And this is from the Sunday Times to do with the virtual reality games. Now remember, as I say, everything that's given to the public went through the military establishments first. Anything that could be used to change or alter society in any way at all in culture is tried, tested, and approved. And when we get it, it's almost obsolete. They're on to the next phase. So this is the Sunday Times, November 25th, 2007. And it's in their news tech and web news gadgets and gaming section. This is by Alex Pell and Christopher Goodwin. Just think carefully before you answer. It's a device that is capable of reading people's minds, fact or fantasy. We knew you'd say that, but scientists at an American laboratory have been brainstorming the same question for more than 5 years and have come up with a mind-blowing different answer. They call it Epoch, but when it is launched early next year in Britain and the US, it will probably be known simply as the mind-reading helmet, capable supposedly of knowing what users are thinking. The device is being hailed as a revolutionary breakthrough in the way that humans will be able to interact with computers. This is the interfacing. We're getting everyone trained to go into the interface, but the young will adapt to it very quickly, and then the next bunch will go even further. Its implications are massive, opening the possibility that one day people will be able to control everything from light switches to the cursor on their computer screen by simply thinking about it. Yeah, but they don't tell you that you won't be programming it. Someone will be programming you. However, for now, the technology will be used as the ultimate gimmick to play computer games simply by thinking your screen characters into action. Emotive systems. Now, emotive, it refers to emotion, and there's more to this I'll go into later. The San Francisco company that has developed the technology says Project Epoch could mean the end of joysticks and keyboard bashing. Instead, game players will be able to visualize a move in their head that will move, and that move will be replicated on the screen in front of them. So, for example, Harry Potter could be ordered to cast exotic spells, or a Jedi might exert the Force to fling his enemies around, all through the willpower of the gamer with no buttons pressed. And they go on to tell you more about how this actually works. See, the fact that such an advanced system has been developed for something as apparently frivolous as computer games should come as no surprise. The industry is one of the most innovative and competitive, with each company attempting to move a step ahead of its rivals. That's nonsense. They all get the same technology at the same time at the top. It's given to them through cutting-edge technology. Witness the success of the Nintendo WII with its wireless computer or controller that reproduces physical movements on the screen and has resulted in a huge sales surge. The industry is also one of the biggest. Sales of computer games and handheld consoles have exploded over the past 5 years, with some analysts predicting it could soon be bigger than Hollywood in terms of turnover. Then they go on and on about the cost and the factors and so on. So how does the helmet work? In simple terms, it relies on the fact that every time a human thinks about something, electrical impulses are triggered in the brain. This has been known for years in the medical world and is the basis of an electrocephalogram, the EEG, the technique that measures the electrical activity of the brain by recording from electrodes placed on the scalp. Now, this is interesting because, you see, there's also another article came out at the same time. This one is using EEG technology, electroencephalographic technology. But what I mentioned about a month ago was that the Pentagon and the British counterpart had also set up virtual worlds with every human being that's registered in these virtual worlds. And they're gathering data on your personality. Now, here they're going a step further. It gets much, much more to get your brain pathways, etc., how you think as an individual, and that will be added to this virtual world, this matrix they're setting up, you see. And even though this one here is using EEG technology, there's another one coming out, which is using ultrasonic-type technology to go even further and try and record the pathways of your brain as well. Now, that's going into what they call engrams. Engrams are pathways where your memories, etc., are stored. They want a virtual copy of you. That's what's coming. And this is what all this is for. It's nothing to do with them using little Johnny. It's about getting to know little Johnny better than he knows himself, and to create a duplicate world which one day most people will all be in without knowing it eventually. It says here, Emotive claims to have refined the technique to isolate and identify the electrical patterns that are given off when humans think about a given course of action, such as moving their arm to the left or right, or depressing the right thumb or index finger. The EPOC helmet recognizes these electrical patterns and translates them into real movements on the screen. Now, that was done about 8 months ago, if you remember, that DARPA. Now, DARPA is not there to help you. DARPA is a big part of the National Security Agency, and to do with Homeland Security, and they give a PR blurb out on the media when they said they'd put a chip in a paraplegic's brain that allowed him to send emails to people by simply thinking about it. So here you've got, there's no competition here. Everything's already done at the top and dished out to the ones down below. It says, to look at, the helmet resembles nothing so much as a novelty head massage gadget with several spidery arms curving around the head and meeting at the top. The arms are fitted with a total of 16 sensors positioned so they are in contact with the relevant part of the head and pick up electric signals in the brain. The system's software analyzes these signals and then wirelessly relays what it detects to a receiver plugged into the US port of the game console or PC. Emotive says it has mapped 12 specific actions that the helmet will recognize and can be reproduced in standard games. Now, you know that back in the 90s, in 95 I think it was announced in all major media, definitely here in Canada, that all communication devices, phones, faxes, computers, and so on, had to be accessible at all times, be made to be so by the manufacturers, to be accessible at all times by the security agencies, your governmental security agencies. And there's no firewall sold to the public or any other gadget that will stop them having access. They're built that way with back doors in them. And you can bet and take it to the bank, as long as they're open, that they're going to store all the data on a whole generation of children who are growing up and have a complete personality profile put into this matrix system they've already put up and built and have operating and they'll know, as I say, little Johnny better than Johnny knows himself. Predictive programming indeed, because for total control in the world, everyone must be completely predictable, getting to know you, indeed. So that's the world we're going into at a gallop, not by chance, not because they want to entertain you, not just for bucks at all, no. It's to control, a society to do with control, an ongoing, never-ending journey where man is the material, the base material, which can be remade and remade and perfected and used as the masters see fit. That's what it's all about. Long, long-term agenda. It's interesting that Huxley and others talked about this coming world, and movies were made about it, where they showed you the interfacing in the Star Trek series too. They had the Borg there, and from adults' points of view, the Borg were horrific creatures, robotic creatures in a spaceship they called the Hive. The Hive, by the way, has been used in the military to talk about the general public. All public locations where people live, habitat areas, are called hives in the military now, and they get documentation when their base, they're an army base, as to where to go in the Hive general population for libraries and so on. And I'll be back with more of this after the following messages. Hi, I'm Alan Watt, and we're cutting through a matrix which is surrounding us all the time, step by step, and one day people will think they wake up. It'll be in a different world. They won't notice it, most of them, because they've been brought up with the fantasy of it, and now they live the fantasy, thinking they're in a real world, and they'll do real jobs in a physical world. They could be doing something rather nasty, like cleaning out a barn or something, but they'll think they're on the moon with James Bond and Skywalker or something like that. That'll be the fantasy in their head. As I was saying before the break there, that this was shown, as I say, that the Borg mentality was shown in the Star Trek series, and they had the cyborg characters as Borgs, where they were part machine but mainly human, and they were all interconnected to a centralized queen or computer, a mind, and they called it the Hive. The whole ship was called the Hive. That's what they're bringing into play. Now, if they can map your psychomotor patterns for you, the uniqueness that is you, remember, they can then reverse that flow and command your brain to act in certain ways, and you will get up and walk, maybe walk to where they tell you to walk to, maybe walk into a police cell and sit down, and you won't even know you've done it. And that's where it's all going, you see, the controlled society. Quite something. And people will flow into this without even noticing. Most of them won't notice. Many will actually enjoy it because they enjoy entertainment, enjoy fantasy. And they won't be able to tell the difference anymore. They're almost at that stage today. Now, Huxley, Aldous Huxley, in 1961 said, and it seems to me perfectly in the cards that will be within the next generation or so, a pharmacological method of making people love their servitude and producing a kind of painless concentration camp for entire societies, so that people will in fact have their liberties taken away from them, but will rather enjoy it, because they will be distracted from any desire to rebel by propaganda, brainwashing, or brainwashing enhanced by pharmacological methods. That kind of ties in with a statement that Mr. Rockefeller made when he talked about coming catastrophes and so on, and when he was asked about the people, how will they behave, he says, they'll come to us with perfect docility. Absolutely certain that they would. And no wonder, because we're all being drugged at the moment with all the spraying, and we're getting dumbed down by 1,000 different methods the general public are unaware of. Now, we've got Dan from California on the line. Are you there, Dan?
Hello, hello.
Hello. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, Alex. Boy, it's great to talk to you. And, you know, your subject is right on. I'm a video game developer from California. And when I started at Atari, back in the 80s, we always used to joke because Atari was right across the street from Lockheed Missiles and Space.
Coincidence, eh?
And, you know, we made games like Missile Command and Battle Zone, and we always used to joke that, you know, there was a secret tunnel between Atari and Lockheed, and if anything ever happened, they just hooked these kids up to these games, and the gamers would control, you know, these devices at Lockheed. You know, we thought it was a big joke.
Yeah.
So the last game that I worked on was Call of Duty 4, right? It's for the Xbox 360. It's one of the biggest games out there. This Call of Duty game, and I can't even believe, you know, I'm listening to your show, and I'm working on the game, and the game's, you know, a first-person shooter, all takes place in the Middle East, you know, with all of these overtones, all the overtones and political overtones that you can think of coming from the Middle East.
The propaganda.
And, you know, and just by, you know, and the server that we're working on, the whole game, it's called Huxley 6.
Oh, really?
No, I mean, I couldn't believe it. And just before the game starts, on each of the intro levels, they have little quotes. And quotes from who? Bertrand Russell, Plato. You know, I'm surprised they didn't throw in Albert Pike. You know,
oh, he'll come down the road. Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. You know, I'm listening to your show, working on this game, and as we're working on this game, we're getting a parade of these politicians coming through.
Yes.
The mayor of Los Angeles, you know, the governor, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger's coming to the company to see how the game is doing.
Yep.
I mean, this is a game.
It's very important to the ones at the top, and it's not the only company that's giving me information. They're doing this to all the major ones because they're all working together because information is fed to higher levels and then fed down to you.
Well, I never wanted to believe this. I always defended video games, that they were outside of this of the control of that system. You know, but this last game, I mean, parts of the game just made me sick to my stomach. You know, playing it triggers all of those psychopathic, you know, psychological triggers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't get points for staying alive. If you just survive, you don't get points. You get points if you kill.
Yeah.
You know, it's designed this, and, you know, just the effects of the game was just, you know, it was just wild, you know.
Yes.
Anyway, you know, I was so shocked, you know, making this game and listening to your show, and I bookmarked your, you know, Cutting to the Matrix show on all the computers. At the, you know, at the development company, I won't say the name, but everybody knows Call of Duty. If they're listening to your show, you know, they're going to be, you know, affected by that game. And I guess my question is, you know, you get all this stuff coming at you.
Yeah, hang on, and we'll finish this after the next break.
Thanks.
Hi, folks. Alan Watt back with Cutting Through the Matrix, and we're talking to Dan from California, who's involved in the making of some of these types of games. And you had a question you wanted to ask.
Well, I guess the question is, you know, I've been listening to this show for a while, and everybody calls in. You know, you have all this information about everything that's coming down. It's all true. You know, people ask me, where's the future of video games going? I say, go to cuttingthroughthematrix.com, and you'll find all about, you know, you'll learn all about the future of gaming. And people want, you know, like, the question is, well, how do we stop this? What do we do about that, you know? And as I began to think about that, I thought, okay, well I'm going to study karate, you know, because we got the Blackwater guys moving in right down the street from us.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, okay, well, I got to get my kung fu together. And then thinking, well, these guys got bulletproof vests and M16.
Yeah.
You know, you better start going to the firing range. Right, so then you start going to the firing range, but, you know, in order to fight these guys, you know, you have to shoot first.
Yeah.
You can't wait to counter shoot.
And see, this has been the problem all down through the ages. You always get the people at the bottom fighting the organized army from the people at the bottom, because they're just the offspring of us, you see, who are trained and brainwashed. And the guys at the top sit back and laugh at this because they don't take part in actual physical stuff. But what they do need, and this is the big trick to everything, they need us to acquiesce to everything they want us to do. in the society that they lead us into. And so in other words, they need our permission. In fact, they want us to be enthusiastic about going into this brave new world. And we've got to start and turn around now in our private lives and start saying no to different things that they demand from us, regardless of how many people in the majority go along with it. Those who have functioning brains have to use them and simply say no. And you'd be surprised how that starts to grow. Most people are followers. I mean, when they see someone standing up and saying, no, that's enough in this particular direction or that direction, then they feel a bit more courageous and they'll change allegiance to those who are standing up and saying no. And that's what we must do in a peaceable way, because they need us to acquiesce to every part of this agenda or they lose it.
Well, that's the big question. You know, how do you fight the psychopath without becoming a psychopath?
You can't just become one, and you must use the traits they don't have. They don't have love for their fellow man, for instance. So you have to be real with yourself. And if you truly feel the caritas, as they call it, for humanity, you must show it and let people know. And
what was that word?
It's all right to show it. See, the society that's been created has made us isolated, and so we're afraid of showing how we feel about other people. It's time that we regained that and brought it to the surface.
Alex, did you say caritas?
Yeah, it's love for your fellow human, basically.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of, I mean, you know, I'm pretty, you know, it's pretty scary to love one of these Blackwater guys coming through and saying, you got to have the chip.
Well, I'm not talking about I'm talking about the general public that you want to help, not these guys. These guys are conditioned, and when they've had enough slaughter and all the rest of it, it's only then the shock sets in and they go to pieces. That's what conditioning does. It's very scientifically done to them. They're like robots, and that's why in all the Star Wars movies that you had, the series of Star Wars, they're always portrayed almost like robots. They're faceless numbers. They're just uniform. That's what a uniform is. It's all becomes one. They're not individuals anymore. They're uniformly made. So you've got to bypass them and go to the ones above, and it's the ones who lead them and demand that you give allegiance to this system that you must stand up to. And say, no, we're not going along with this because we know what's happening. These are the guys we must go to. The soldier at the bottom has got to be bypassed, or you simply have the guys at the bottom fighting the guys at the bottom, as always.
Yeah, you're really starting to go beyond, like, you know, you almost go into spiritual, occultic type of, you know, like a war that's happening, you know, beyond the physical sometimes, I think, you know.
We're in it. There's more to humanity than at least there used to be for most than simply the basic instincts, and they can be brought out again in people too. We see this in times of real disasters, not the man-made ones. People naturally want to go and help each other. They do that naturally because it's a survival instinct. By helping others, you help yourself.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. That's the only way with this kind of humane type of, you know, this kind of empathy that you talk about on your show as almost like a weapon against the psychopath.
It is a weapon, because what they have tried to do, they've been pretty successful, is to get everyone into a psychopathic culture of dog-eat-dog until we are isolated from everyone else, and we walk past people in the streets without helping them if they fall down. That's the society that's been created, and it's all wrong. It's not human or humane. And it's time that we regained that, because we are capable of doing it.
Well, Alex, I mean, when I run into these guys, especially these, you know, the politicians coming through with their security guys into my little game company, and they got real guns, you know.
Yeah.
My shackles go up,
yeah.
You know. And, you know, I want to stop them from hurting people.
Yes, and we've got to do it now before it gets to a stage where they will start hurting people, and that's what we see happening. Or they've made the superstructure, they're getting everything in place for something they know is coming step by step, as they unleash a form of hell on us and then offer us the solution. And that's why the Department of Defense in Britain, the top think tank, projected nothing but riots by ordinary people in all countries for the next 20 to 30 years. what on earth do they have planned that's going to cause such chaos? Well, this is a 100 years war, according to Rumsfeld and others, and they plan to have their whole brand new system of the new Borg all complete by the end of that 100 years. So we've got to say, no, we're stopping it right now.
Sometimes it makes me sick that I've been part of this. I made these games.
Well, you know, this, again, is a system we're in. This darn thing called money, they've given people no other way to get through this system without money.
I had to do that to buy your DVD, you know?
People get compromised. People become sharks themselves because they're terrified of poverty. That's what money does in a money system. You're terrified of poverty, and that's what makes you inhumane to your fellow man.
Well, I'm really happy that you have this show. It has the reverse effect of those games. When I listen to your show, somehow I calm down and, you know, I begin to think differently and read differently and,
It's deprogramming, and that's what we need, is lots of deprogramming to regain that which we're capable of having. It's innate within us. It's time it woke up and regained its right in this world.
Yeah, anyway, I hope a lot of my co-workers and, are going to your website and looking at it, you know, because, we're in the belly of the beast.
Yes,
you know?
And a lot of people are compromised, and a lot of people are going through problems at the moment with their conscience as they understand what they're actually involved in.
Yeah, I hope.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks, Alex.
Bye now.